Live on 99.1 The Sports Animal and Fox 43 Sports in Knoxville, this is Tennessee Sports Night, presented by Provision Cares Proton Therapy. If you or a loved one has cancer, you need to know about the benefits of proton therapy. To learn more about your treatment options, visit protonbenefits.com. Now, to the studio for Tennessee Sports Night.
Hey, good evening, and welcome in to Tennessee Sports Night on 99.1 The Sports Animal and Fox 43. Great to have you with us. I am Vince Ferrara. That is Heather Harrington from Sports 180. We got a packed show for you. We'll talk some NFL a little bit later on in the show, where we'll make our case for the most improved team in the National Football League. We'll talk SEC football. The list of players that will be attending SEC football media days next week was announced. So we'll talk about some of the attendees and what the media might select. Also a little bit on Wimbledon, at VFLs in the NBA and the Summer League, and a lot more in college football with Brad Edwards from ESPN, who will join us in just a moment. First, before we talk to Brad, a little shout out to the winner of the Big Ticket 2019, Eric Fitzgerald.
Yeah, congrats to him.
How about that? Tickets to all the Tennessee sports, football, basketball, and then also Tennessee Titan season tickets and Ice Bear season tickets as well. That's unbelievable prize. And Eric is a big dog around this area now.
Yeah, and not only that, he's going to have a lot of friends blowing up his phone once they see that on Facebook Live or if they heard it on the radio. So I think it's super cool that he was able to win.
Awesome prize. And then we got another great prize. Listen all day on Monday for details on the ultimate camper that was on display at Calhoun's on the River where we did the big ticket giveaway. So look for that on Monday right here on The Sports Animal. Pleased to be joined by ESPN college football analyst. Does a lot of work, not only on the big network and all the family networks, but ESPN Radio, ESPN.com. Brad Edwards joins us here on Tennessee Sports Night. Hey, Brad, Vince, and Heather in Knoxville. How's your summer going, Brad?
Oh, it's going well. And of course, you know, when SEC Media Days arrives, which, you know, we are only a few days away now, that's when it feels like the summer's starting to come to an end. So I'm happy to be in summer, but I'm also happy that football season's almost here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, another part of the summer is all of the rankings. There's preseason publications. You know that you guys have the FPI with ESPN, and you do a lot of work with ESPN stats and info. So fill us in a little bit on why you think Tennessee is ranked as high as they are, 15, which really has surprised a lot of people here in this area.
Yeah, I bet it has. Yeah, we've contributed to the hype machine with the FPI. And, of course, preseason FPI is based on four factors. And look, this stuff is it makes a lot of sense. These are things that most people talk about when they're just having these discussions in the off season. One of them is how good has the team been in recent years, the last 4 years, but with more emphasis on the more recent years. And, of course, Tennessee doesn't fare very well in that one. The next thing is number of returning starters and kind of a little bit of extra credit if your quarterback is returning. Obviously, that's huge for Tennessee because they have one of the highest numbers of returning starters in the country. Is the head coach back? Of course, Tennessee checks that box as well. And then there's a little bit that comes from the last 4 years of recruiting. And of course, the Vols do well there. And so you put it all together, and they made a big leap from the end of last year to the preseason this year. But so did two other teams, which are not in the SEC, UCLA and Florida State. All three of those teams were in the 70s to end last year. All three in the preseason top 25 this year. So they're not alone as far as being a big mover.
Okay, so the FPI has the Vols projected as either 50% chance of winning or better in nine games. Is that too high?
Well, the thing that you have to look at is how many games are basically considered a toss-up. And I kind of look at that as anywhere from 35% to 65% chance to win. That's a game where, look, whether you're a favorite or an underdog, it's not a lock either way. It's a game that you wouldn't be surprised whoever wins, and that's where your season is really made or broken. And you look at those games as the ones that are likely to be decided by a touchdown or less. And we all know there are a bunch of teams every year that are going to have like six games that are close. And if you go 3-3, you have an average type season. If you win most of them, you have a good season. If you lose most of them, you have a bad season. And that's what it comes down to. So even though Tennessee is favored technically in 9 out of 12 games, there are a few of those where they're barely favored, and there are also a few where they might have a chance to win. I mean, Alabama's the only one on that list that I'm like, yeah, they're probably not going to win that. I wouldn't say no chance against Florida. I wouldn't say no chance against Georgia with the game in Knoxville. But, of course, there's some of those games where they're favored. They also wouldn't say there's no way they lose.
I still have PTSD from that last time that Georgia came to Neyland Stadium, Brad.
That was a rough one.
Brad, the FPI has Tennessee at 7.6 wins. Vegas has them at about 6.5 in total wins for the season. Where would you have in those two scales? Where would you have Tennessee in wins?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I would say it's 7 is probably a good number. So I would, if you were asking for advice, I'd say stay away. I mean, sure, the FPI would say, yeah, you'd lean toward Tennessee, but I would tell you there's some teams where there's a lot bigger gap between what FPI thinks and what Vegas says. So, look, I think we've seen a lot of teams that in year two under a new head coach make a big jump, and especially when you have as many returners as Tennessee does, there's an opportunity for that. And so if they get a little bit more consistent quarterback play, I would, and can avoid the injury bug, then I think they've got a good chance to surprise people.
One of those teams you were kind of touching on right then that immediately comes to mind has to be the Florida Gators under Dan Mullen, posting a 10-win season last year sort of out of nowhere. When you're looking at the rest of the SEC, you're taking Alabama and Georgia out of the equation. Who's better? Is it Florida? Is it LSU? Is it Auburn? Texas A&M even? I mean, how would you rank these teams?
Yeah, I don't even hesitate on that one. To me, it's LSU very clearly. In fact, I look at their schedule, and I really like LSU to win every game except for the trip to Tuscaloosa. And if they're able to do that, then there's no reason they can't make the playoff. I mean, if you're 11-1 and your only loss is at Alabama, depending on what happens in the other conferences, there might be a spot for a second SEC team. We've seen that happen. So that could be the case. I think the key for LSU is quarterback play. I mean, for the last 10-plus years, we look at LSU and we're like, man, they have NFL talent at every position except for the most important one. And I'm not saying I expect Joe Burrow to be an NFL player or an NFL starter, but I think he's better at quarterback than anyone they've had since Zach Mettenberger. And I think he's good enough that he kind of fills that void that's existed for so long. And I think they're better at quarterback than a lot of people think. And that's why I think they're going to have a really good year.
Brad, LSU might be one of the answers to my next question. If you're looking at the college football playoff with all of the teams in college football, and you take out the big names, the regulars that we expect to be there, like Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, that you see the most in those projections, outside of those teams, give me a couple other teams that you think have the best chance to get into this year's college football playoff.
Yeah, the first one I would say would be Michigan. I think Michigan has a really good chance to win the Big Ten. Now, of course, they have to beat Ohio State, and that's something that they've done like once in 15 years. I mean, it's just it's an incredible drought. But if they can win that game, and it's in Ann Arbor, Ohio State is a first-year coach, first-year quarterback, all that stuff. So everything lines up for Michigan. Of course, a lot of people would say it did last year too. LSU would probably be the second team, I would say. And then after that, if you want a little bit of a long shot, let me go with Utah in the Pac-12. Uh-huh. I'm actually picking Utah to win the Pac-12. Now, I do have some doubts as to whether they could get through that conference without losing twice. But if you look at their schedule, there's only one game that really jumps out at me as one they're probably going to lose, and that's at Washington. So it's a pretty good schedule. And, if you're looking for a long shot, that's where I would go.
All right, let me ask you this really quick, too. Where do you think Texas and Washington fit in on the spectrum? Because those were two teams that I was kind of kicking around to answer Vince's question.
Yeah, I'm not as big on Texas as a lot of national media are. I think that their quarterback's a really good player, but I think they lost too much everywhere else. They have like 8 starters back from last year. Mm. And for a team that wasn't totally loaded, that's a lot to replace. And I think the biggest thing for Texas playoff-wise is that they play LSU in week 2, and it's in Austin. But if they don't win that game, they've probably got to go undefeated to the Big 12, which would likely mean beating Oklahoma twice. And I just don't see it. So that's why I don't like Texas. Washington is a team that I think a lot of people are going to like in the Pac-12. I'm still not sure about Jacob Eason. as their quarterback. And there's so much parity in that league. And their schedule, to me, is not as good as Utah's. The North is the tougher division. So I have a hard time seeing anyone in the North not losing at least two games. That's why I went with Utah, because I think the South is a lot weaker.
Hard to find someone that knows more about the college football playoff. Great college football analyst for ESPN, ESPN Radio, ESPN.com, Brad Edwards. Brad, thanks so much. Look forward to maybe catching up with you again during the football season.
All right, Vince. Heather, take care.
All right, thanks, Brad. That is Brad Edwards from ESPN. Outstanding insight on Tennessee and the college football playoff. All right, we will make our case. Most improved NFL team. That's next on Tennessee Sports Night.
This segment of Tennessee Sports Night is brought to you by United Grocery Outlet. Shop us first.
And welcome back into Tennessee Sports Night with Heather Harrington. I am Vince Ferrara. Awesome to have you with us here each weeknight from 7 to 7:30. All right, on Thursdays, we make our case. Each of us, one topic, and today we're going to make our case and then probably debate because we may disagree.
It's coming, Vince.
On the most improved team based on record in the National Football League from last year to this year. So, Heather, the floor is yours. Make your case who's going to be the most improved team in the NFL.
Well, I know they won seven games last year and finished, 7-8-1, but that's the Cleveland Browns, and that was a huge improvement, obviously, over the past 2 years. But I'm going to go again with Cleveland. Having Baker Mayfield back, adding Odell Beckham Jr., an all-pro, to already Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb on offense, I think it's just going to make them that much more dynamic, banning any sort of sophomore slump from Baker Mayfield. So we'll see how the offense works out. But on defense, they also acquired defensive end Olivier Vernon, along with defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson, who Tennessee fans know very well, having played at Missouri when he was dominant on the defensive line. And then they also drafted cornerback Greedy Williams. So I'm looking at what they did as a team, and I think they bolstered a lot of different holes that they had from last year. And now let's look at the other teams that they have to play, because they do have to play the Steelers in their division twice. Steelers have had a ton of attrition. What do they look like after Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and then the Ravens, and then they also get the NFC West. The Rams and the Seahawks are home games for the Browns this year. So if they could split there, could be a really good.
I agree with you. They'll be improved. Most improved, I would hesitate, because first year head coach and then the possibility that they could implode with all those big personalities. Yeah, exactly right. All right, I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, this is tough. I think there's a lot of teams that you will see improve by two games, maybe even three games. Eagles at 9-7 last year, ton of injuries. Derek Barnett is going to be back on that D-line. Add Malik Jackson, get healthy on the offensive line. You look at their roster, they have about as good a roster as there is in the NFL. Oh, by the way, Carson Wentz is back. I know there's some that still doubt him, whether he'll stay healthy. Yep. That is a question. But I think you could see them jump three games to get into that 12-win range.
You know who totally disagrees with you?
Who's that?
Jason Witten and my Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. Shocking. All right. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to talk some SEC football with SEC Media Days next week. We'll preview it for you next here on Tennessee Sports Night. Stay with us.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into Tennessee Sports Night. I'm Vince Barron alongside Heather Harrington, and we're going to talk some SEC football now as SEC Football Media Days next week. And of course, no one covers it better than we do. We'll have three shows live from Radio Row, SEC Football Media Days back at the Winfrey Hotel in Hoover, Alabama. Tennessee, of course, Jeremy Pruitt will be there, taking Jared Garantano, Daniel Batuli, yep, and Daryl Taylor. First off, what do you think of the trio going for Tennessee?
Love the trio. Whenever Josh and I were talking about it on Sports 180 earlier this week, before the names had been announced, those were three names. We also had thrown Nigel Warrior in there as well, with him being a senior. Also, Marquez Callaway having represented the Vols last year at SEC Media Day. So those were a couple of extra names that we had added to the ones that actually did end up getting selected. I think it should be mandatory that a quarterback goes from every single team, and there are several teams that are not sending quarterbacks.
And five, I think.
Yeah. And so, and then you got two leaders on defense. I mean, Daryl Taylor is the highest returning starter with the most sacks coming right. back in the SEC this year. So that was a no-brainer. And then Daniel Betulli, he seems like a captain on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think there'll be more of a trust in those guys. Obviously, with Garantano, we talked to him a lot more this spring.
Yeah.
He is as solid as it comes in terms of quarterbacks having their starting position. So he was the guy that, to me, had to be there for Tennessee. I think he'll represent himself well. Now, some of the other top players that are there from the Southeastern Conference, Tua is there. We know he's going to be the biggest star, right?
Of course, yeah. Tua and I would say Jerry Jeudy as well. I mean, right. Jeudy is going to be on some early Heisman watch lists. You know, pay attention for that. He'll be on first-team All-SEC lists. He's an incredible, dynamic wide receiver. So, yeah, Tua will be the biggest star, but Jerry Jeudy's won't be much dimmer.
Jake Fromm, Georgia, as always, has a really strong group. And then a guy that doesn't have the name value, I don't think, for everybody, but is as good a college football player as you'll find. That's Grant Delpit, a DB from LSU.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love the fact that 9 quarterbacks are going to be there. Yes, 5 aren't, but 9 are going to be there, including Kelly Bryant. I mean, what an X factor he's going to be for Missouri. There's some really good quarterbacks, Kellen Mond at Texas A&M, really good ones. Now, in terms of trio of players, who do you think is bringing the best 3 groups of players to Media Days?
I'm going to actually take Alabama out of the mix because I think that's the really easy answer. I mean, obviously, yeah, with Tua finishing runner-up for the Heisman, right, and like I said, with Jerry Jeudy and then Dylan Moses, right, first-team All-SEC. Yeah. So I'm going to go with a different answer, and I'm going to give you the Georgia Bulldogs, and that's because Jake Fromm, being a junior now, he's second-team All-SEC. He has the ability to close the gap with him and Tua, so right, we'll see how good of a quarterback he's going to be this year. And then you also have a first-teamer. These are, according to Athlon,
right,
their preseason mag, J.R. Reed, defensive back, who's a senior, and then also offensive lineman, first-team All-SEC preseason selection in Andrew Thomas. So I think it's a solid group, first and second team. Jake Fromm would be first team All-SEC if a guy named Tua wasn't still in school.
Exactly. I'm a little bummed that J.R. Reed is going and not DeAndre Swift.
I was too.
J.R. Reed went last year. So, you know, with all the stars they have, they could easily bring other guys. But you know who else has 2 first teamers and a second teamer as their trio?
Auburn. Yeah.
And that's true. But Vanderbilt as well.
Wow. That's hard to believe. But yeah, Keyshawn Vaughn, that guy's incredible.
Keyshawn Vaughn, Kalijah Lipscomb, who is a top returning wide receiver, led the league in catches last year. And then they're bringing Jarrett Pinckney, who is, after Albertoa, Missouri, probably the second best tight end in the SEC, any second team. That's a pretty nice group. They're bringing their stars on offense. And Derek Mason will be probably the most accessible coach there at Media Days as well.
Yeah, and he's easily excitable. I remember he had just come into the league when I actually covered Media Days for the radio station several years ago, mm-hmm, and just such an energetic guy. Now, I don't like him very much just because of him dancing last year on the sidelines during the Vanderbilt win,
right,
but that's nothing personal against Coach Mason. It's just I was aggravated by that point.
All right, so real quick, so order of finish. The media doesn't often get it right. They did last year with Alabama. But give me a quick order of finish that you think the media is going to select for at Media Days.
I think on the east side, it'll be Georgia, Florida, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. On the west side, Bama, LSU, Texas A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. I think the most intriguing team to me this year in the SEC, besides what Tennessee does, well, there's 2. Florida, of course, in year 2 under Dan Mullen, but Gus Malzahn signing that big contract before the beginning of last season and then falling way short. Right. I'm anxious to see what Auburn has. What do you have?
I have the exact same, both in the East and in the West. All right, player of the year, they're going to say
right
Tua.
Here, Vince.
Yep. They're going to say Tua, right?
Yeah, they've got to say Tua. I would also give a nod to Jerry Jeudy, though. I guarantee he'll get some love.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to get some love to Wimbledon when we come back. And those rookie VFLs that are doing a great job in the NBA Summer League. We'll close things out with the last call next here on Tennessee Sports Night.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Back here on Tennessee Sports Night, it is last call time. That means we're going to wrap things up and rapid fire through a couple of final topics. One, Boy, those VFL rookies getting it done. Only three losses by those four guys. Jordan Bone getting a ton of compliments from an assistant coach saying, talking about his leadership. He didn't really practice with him, but he's playing games already. He, Kyle Alexander, Grant Williams, and Admiral Schofield all been very impressive in the summer league.
Yeah, they have. Now, you have to pump the brakes and take summer league for what it is. It's kind of like the wide receiver or defensive back that comes out of nowhere in spring practice and then disappears when the season rolls around, right? So you do have to take everything with a grain of salt. Sure. But I love that the VFLs are showing up big, and I can't wait to see especially what Grant Williams is able to do on this Celtics roster this year.
No doubt. And something that you and I enjoy, Jimmy Himes, obviously a big tennis fan as well, is these tennis majors. And we got Wimbledon this weekend with the finals set on the women's side. Serena Williams going for Grand Slam number 24 and Wimbledon Championship number 8, and it'd be our first title since her coming back
after having a baby.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So who wins, Simona Halep or Serena Williams?
I'm gonna go ahead and give this one to Serena. I think she's in better shape this year. I think she still needs to work on that aspect of her game, but she seems really fired up, and I'm pumped for Serena. So hopefully she can kind of deter some of the bratty behavior and get a big win at Wimbledon.
Nothing against Serena, but I'm gonna go Halep. I think she's playing really, really well on grass. All right, and then on the men's side, who wins out of the big three?
I don't even care who wins. We win as viewers because we get that Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer matchup. This is the first time they've met at Wimbledon since the epic 2008 match where Rafael Nadal finally broke through and got his first Wimbledon championship. So I really don't care because I am just going to DVR that. I might watch it all weekend long, just the semifinals. But give me Federer. Give me Federer if I had to place a bet.
Yeah, I'm going to go Federer too. Obviously, Federer Djokovic, I think, is the way the final will be, but it'll be so much fun this weekend. And Major League Baseball is back tonight. Heather, awesome job. Had a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you for watching Tennessee Sports Night each weekday from 7 to 7:30, Fox 43 and the Sports Animal. Have a great night. See ya.